everybody's back now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nine is back.
Okay,
yep. Nine is back. And the bridge is back.
Okay. Okay, and I kind of would like to ask you all to lift Don up to our Heavenly Father, that the blessing that Don has asked for, he would receive, and as such, we would receive that blessing as well, that we might be edified, that we might be encouraged and instructed. And please give your best virtual smile and your prayers. Give you our elder Don Head.
I'm real glad to be here today, and I thought we had a real good Sunday school class. I'd like to remind everybody that it says the Lord set some in the church, first apostles and prophets and evangelists, past teachers, and you guys know how that goes. But the reason he did that is for the perfecting of the saints. And I talked to Roland, it's been 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, and we were both thinking about the perfection. And so I thought, I'm gonna look up that. Boy, I got out my concordance and started looking, and there were so many words that were translated into the word perfection that I thought, well, I'll just go through it anyway. And I started, and I got so mixed up, I thought, there's no way I'm gonna be able to figure out how this thing works so I can get it down pat and be able to go forward from a certain place and try to become perfect. And that's our job. We're supposed to be able to do that as a ministry, to perfect the saints. So I've learned a few things about that, and one of the things I've learned, that if you're a minister, you do not tell people to follow Christ, period, unless you tell them what to do. Because they don't know what to do. They're all trying to follow Christ. It's like the little boy, Monday morning, he was following his mother around. He was right smack dab behind her. She couldn't move without knocking him down. And he just kept it up, being right there. And she says, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "Well, in Sunday school, they told us to follow Christ. And I don't know. I can't do that. So I thought about you. You're the closest person to Jesus that I know, so I'm following in your footsteps." And I thought, boy, that's really sweet. That little kid, he really wanted to do what's right. I remember my mama told me when I was in the fourth grade, she says, "We have to have our house clean for Christ coming." And it wasn't very long, she went to the grocery store. Man, I grabbed the vacuum cleaner, and I pulled the couch out and the chairs out, and I had everything in the middle of the front room, and I was vacuuming my head off. And she didn't take very long. I thought she'd be gone a long time, but she wasn't. She come back and says, "What in the world are you doing?" And I said, "Well, you said we had to have a clean house for Jesus, and I'm cleaning the house." She said, "Well, you just go outside and play. I'll finish it." And so I didn't know. I was just doing what the person said. So I worked for about 10 or 11 years at the chicken plant and the refrigeration department, big motors and everything, making a lot of racket and so forth. And every time the Lord would give me something, well, I'd put it on my tape recorder I carried in my pocket. And so I quit work for a year and a half, and they said, "Would you please come back?" So I came back, and I took that tape recorder, and I thought, "I wonder what's on that." And so I pushed the button to play it, and it said, if you're going to ask somebody to follow Christ, and you have never been there before, It's like the blind leading the blind, and you're both going to fall in the ditch. And I thought, I couldn't even remember saying that. And so it's important that we tell the people exactly what to do. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, I'm just going to accept by faith that that's right. It says, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. And so, I'll give my own translation of that. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did make things perfect. And by it, we can draw near to God, and in drawing near to God, we will become perfect. There's two kinds of perfection. One of them is, a charged to our account that we are perfect spiritually. But it also says, let no one be deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. So there's a working that has to go on in our lives just about continually. I think that's what it means, says work out your own soul salvation. It doesn't mean that you don't have salvation. It's like getting married. When you get married, you're married. That's it. But you got a lot of things to work out, a lot of problems and troubles between. And I guess just about everybody had this trouble. I didn't know it. Squeezing the toothpaste from the top of the tube. Boy, that was a major sin when I was first married, for Barbara to do that. And there's a lot of things that you just need to work out. I remember about the closet light. I probably told you guys all about the closet light, but I'll tell it again. Barbara was leaving the closet light on whenever she come out. And I took a chance to tell her that was running up the light bill, and she said that's not that much wattage, and she was right, and I didn't want to admit it, and so we had over a few months, quite a problem with that. And I'd talk to her about shutting the light off, and then she'd say, well, you don't close your closet door. And it seemed like when the closet door's open, you can see it from the front room, and if anybody came in, they'd see the closet door was open. She was concerned about that. And we talked about it in bed. You know, we'd go to in bed, and that's where we visit most. And she'd say, you know, I'm trying to turn that light off, but I forget. And I said, well, it's the same thing with me with the closet door. I want to close it, but I forget. It's one of those doors that if you don't shut it real hard, it opens by itself. And so one day I got this real good idea. I'll put a motion detector in the closet. When she goes in, the light will turn on. When she goes out, it'll turn off. Oh boy, I was so happy, because now I had an end to my problem. So here comes Michael. I said, Mike, boy, I got this good idea. I'm going to put a motion detector in the closet. And I told him the whole thing, and he said, Dad, that motion detector is not going to solve your problem. Your problem is your heart. Boy, that was just like stabbing me right in the heart with a knife. I knew he was right. And so I thought, I am going to change my heart right now. And from that time on, I've never had a problem with it. She hardly ever leaves it on anymore. But if she does, I don't care. I just go turn it off, and I have no ill feeling within my heart. So you can change your heart just by making up your mind to do it. I told this story at a Promise Keepers meeting, and the pastor of the church where we were meeting in, he came and was there to, you know, join in and everything. Well, he came in one day, and he was visibly upset. I mean, this guy was angry. And so I didn't say anything, and a couple of the other guys came in, and one of my buddies said, you know, what's going wrong? What's the matter? He said, I'm having a problem, and I don't want any of your Christian cliches about everything's going to be okay, and, you know, don't worry and take it to the Lord and all that. And I thought, boy, this guy is really upset. Well, come to find out, his wife, whenever she cleans the house, if she's in a hurry, she just opens up a drawer and shoves everything in it. And so then when he goes and finds a drawer with a bunch of junk in it, he knows what she did. She really didn't clean the house. She just shoved everything in the drawer. And I thought, why are you upset about that? She's the county nurse. She's working 10 or 12 hours a, you know, week. You got two grown-up kids that are going to college at home, and she has to do all the laundry and the feeding and the working, and then, of course, he was working too. But I didn't think of it right then, but after a little while I got to thinking, you know something? That's his closet light. He gets upset when he sees that, trying as hard as she could without enough time to do anything, she still tried to make the place look good. And so you guys might be thinking about your closet lights. Maybe there's something going on with you at work or in your home that your spouse does that upsets you, and you might have a heart problem, and you need to just let that go. I opened up a book the other day and read chapter 1, verse 1, and it said humility, or just to use the word lowliness. Lowliness is an essential, no, not essential, principle. Lowliness is a principle thing. And it talked about becoming as a little child. And I got to thinking, you know something? I haven't been thinking about that very much. I've thought about a lot of things that trying to do better, but I haven't considered becoming as a little child or being humble, and I need to work on that. And so I thought I'd talk about that today to remind you to try to remember that that's what you need to do. And you know, when we get converted and decide to follow Christ and get baptized and everything, well, we become converted. Well, when Jesus took those little children in his lap, and he said, unless you're converted and become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And I thought, you know, that's kind of like a second conversion, because you're already converted, but if you're not like a little child, you need to be converted more to become like a little child. And it is not an easy thing to do. Another thing is becoming a servant to everyone. And years ago, we had a Thanksgiving, and we was going to have everybody over to the house. And Barbara had everything all planned out, had all thought out, how she was going to do everything. And so she said, would you get the big long table and put next to the round table? And I said, okay. And so I put it there the way it was supposed to be put, and she said, I don't want it like that. I want it turned the other way. Well, I knew that my way was better. And she said, no, I want it turned the other way. And the thought came to me, why don't you just be a servant to her and do whatever she says? And she's been thinking about this for 2 weeks, and she don't want some joker coming off the street telling her how to do it. And so I just said to myself, okay, that's just what I'm going to do. And I was, you know, did everything that she needed help with, the best of my ability. And you know something? That was the easiest Thanksgiving preparation we ever had. Just because I made up my mind that I didn't know everything. And I was just going to be a servant and do what I was told. Or, you know, not told, but asked to do for help. Some of these things in our lives are really hard for us to get corrected. We forget that, let's see, I get the best way, we don't have a leg to stand on. We can't say that we've done this and we've done that, so therefore we're doing better in our life. Because everything we have is a gift from God. And for some reason that I don't understand yet, He has given us weaknesses so that we would not rejoice, you know, in our ability. He's the one that gives us the gift of faith. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Nobody can come to God unless, you know, he's drawn by the Lord. And so these things are all gifts, and it's real hard for us to understand. And we forget that we're just natural. We're a natural man with a lot of things to work out. And the Book of Mormon says a natural man is an enemy to God. But if he puts off the natural man and becomes a saint, humble, meek, submissive, filled with love, and willing to submit to whatever the Father sees fit to inflict upon him. When I first read that about 20, 30 years ago, I thought, boy, oh boy, that's hard to understand. There's a lot of preachers that are preaching prosperity and everything's going to get better, and all you got to do is, you know, send me a few bucks and all kinds of things that we hear. But to be willing to submit to whatever the Father sees fit to inflict upon you is not an easy task unless you understand what's going on. And what's going on is the Lord is trying to work in you to get you conformed to the image of His Son. And that's not easy. Whenever you try to kill somebody, if you're fighting with a sword or you got a gun or something, you don't shoot his fingers and the tips of his hair and his earlobes off. You know, you go right for the place where the life is. And that's what the Lord does to us. When we're having a problem, He says, you know, she knows she's not supposed to do that, or he knows he's not supposed to do that. I'm going to have to step in here and lovingly make a correction so that they can get that part dead that's in their life. Paul said along this line, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, Barb and I have been looking into this, and, you know, it's real hard to explain that if you're having a problem that God is trying to help you out, because you don't feel like he's helping you out. You feel like he kind of deserted you. And we know that we have to be deprived of our self, I guess is the best way to put it, self-righteousness, self-confidence. I like the Amplified Version in Proverbs. I found out there's 7 Hebrew words for the word fool. And one of them is a self-confident fool. And so the Amplified Version puts that in Hebrews. And does it make it easy to understand that to have self-confidence is just foolish? I remember when I started working at the chicken plant, I had to learn a whole bunch of things. How to shut this off and start that up and fill this with water, and this had to be done at a certain time. Then I had to run and make sure this was turned on. And when I was done turning that on, I had to go back and check the water, make sure it was full and not running over. And there's a routine that took a lot of learning. So after about 6 months, I got to be on the shift all by myself and start up all that stuff with nobody's help. And I was just walking around that place one day, and I thought, you know everything. You can shut down and start up everything. And I thought to myself, what can go wrong? That was a mistake. That was a mistake. Things, alarms started going off. Compressors started shutting down. And I just had to go on a dead run for about 2 hours to get everything all done on time. And so I had that self-confidence, and it wasn't worth 2 cents. I've often thought about, like being a nurse, and you learn a whole bunch of things about how to help people, what to do, but there always comes a time when you, all that learning and everything you've ever went through does not help the situation that's right in front of you at the time. It could be, the loss of a loved one, or a problem in your marriage, or something that all you're learning won't help one single bit. And I think that's the time the Lord wants to say, I'm here and I'm willing to help. Well, just ask me and I'll do it. And there's times in our life when, they have heard it, we are forced to faith, is one way to put it. Another place I read it, calls it the darkness of faith. A time when you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how this thing is going to end. You wish it would end. And you just have to trust God. And it's like being in the darkness, holding on to the Lord and His Word, of course, because I remember that rod of iron went through the midst of darkness. And there's times when you just have to rely on what is written. You don't feel anything. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but you don't feel like He's any place. And why are you going through all this trouble anyway? And if you could just get a handle on that, the Lord loves you so much, He wants you to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants you to be humble and meek and submissive. And humility, to me, is something that will get you out of a lot of trouble with the Lord. I know people that have seen angels that have the gift of prophecy, and I thought, man, if I could just ever see me an angel, I would just, that would straighten my whole life out. I'd never be the same after that. Well, those people that have seen angels and had the gift of prophecy and had revelation, they get angry and do things that I think are inappropriate. And so I thought, what in the world is the key to all this thing? If seeing angels and having revelations and seeing visions and everything isn't where it's at, where is it at? And it's at humility. If you're humble, you can get out of a lot of trouble with the Lord. And also out of trouble with other people. If you don't get angry, you can handle a lot of situations that are very uneasy and hurtful if you just remain humble and don't try to say some little smart aleck thing that will try to get you even with the person that's giving you a hard time. So I hope that we can all learn to become like a little child. I got on the internet and typed in become like a little child. And, I took it to some places where some people had written some things about that that were really, really good. And I thought, you know, you can say all these things, like it says in the Book of Mormon, humble, meek, submissive, patient, filled with love. And it's just things that you know you shouldn't be doing anyway, and you're still having a hard time with it. So I thought, you know, I'm not gonna go into those things to tell them to remember to be patient, humble, and meek and submissive, because we all know that, and we're all trying, and it's very difficult. But if you're failing and having a hard time with anything, that passage in Hebrew that says the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, and that is Christ. He is our better hope. And the reason for it is that we might draw near to God. And so the whole purpose of Christ's work is to get us back into the presence of God. Boy, the Book of Mormon's got a teaching on that, where it takes you from the fall and not being able to get to the tree of life, and Christ coming in and believing on Him and repenting of your sins and being baptized and endure to the end, gets you back to the Garden of Eden. And boy, it's really, really good. And so that's what we need to do. Oh, the reason He did all that wasn't just to keep you from going to hell. That wasn't the real purpose. That was like a kind of a side thing. The reason He did that is because He loves us. He wants to be with us. But we got sent out of the garden and couldn't be walking around with the Lord in the cool of the evening and just having a wonderful time of fellowship. And that's what the Lord wants, is fellowship. Peter talked about it. And so, in order to get that fellowship, you have to draw near to the Lord. And you can do that by prayer and worship and praise. And the Book of Mormon says prayer is worship. So if you say, well, I don't know how to do all that, well, then pray, because that'll make a difference. But when you learn how to praise the Lord for what He has done and all the things He's done, and then worship Him for who He is, that will make a difference in your life, and it'll keep you close to the Lord. And it gives you something in your heart that sin cannot touch you. It just don't make any difference what comes up. It cannot affect you because you're filled with the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit, and those things just don't matter anymore. It also says, pray that you enter not into temptation. Michael was talking to me about that and said, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I think we ought to pray that we won't enter into temptation. He said, what do you think about if you are praying, you will not enter into temptation? And I thought, no wonder He asked us to pray continually, not to faint. It's all part of His plan to help us through all these things that we're going through. And Barb and I were talking, I never did tell you at the end of that, we were talking about, and we began to realize that the things we were going through was the hand of God working lovingly in our lives to help us change what we needed to change to be more like Christ. And you know, I said to her, how are we going to tell anybody this? It's not easy to understand, to tell them, you know, that the things you're going through is God's love in your life, and you know, if you don't understand that, it doesn't make a bit of sense to you if somebody tells you that. But we're slowly beginning to see that everything that happens in our life is for our benefit because He loves us. And that has made a difference in the burdens that we carry when we're going through things. Barbara fell and hit her head on the corner of the dryer or washing machine, and she went down, and it didn't swell up. It you don't usually get a knot on your head where that is. It went in, and so we knew that was dangerous, so we just talked about it a couple of days before, so we went to the hospital. And, you know, that was hard to go through. But we, because we've been studying about this, about the Lord helping us through things, it made it not quite so bad to realize that it hurt, it had to get well, it was scary, because we had to wait 24 hours to take another CAT scan to see if that bleeding onto the surface of the brain had gotten larger. But you know something? I wish you could have been there and seen Barbara. She just was sweet. She just trusted in the Lord and knew that she was going to get through this, and it, she just had a whole different attitude with what she was going through. And it was just neat for me to see her do that. And she is having a hard time right now. We have a friend with a swimming pool. When the sun shines, you can go in the pool. When the sun don't shine, you come out frozen. You don't get warm for a long time. And she was doing exercises, and her legs were getting filled up. Because somebody told us it's not your knees replacement that's causing your trouble. It's the muscles that support all that. When you get them built up, and they were getting built up, she was walking better, and it was neat to see. Then this accident happened, and she had to lay down for 2 weeks, and all that muscle tone's gone, and so we're going to start building those back up again. So she said for me to ask you to please pray for her, because she is weak, and so that's what I'm doing, asking you to remember her so she'll get it back. Like I said, Monday we're going to the Y, and we're going to do some swimming and do the machine, and we're going to put forth a conscious effort to get her build back up again, and she'll be back where she was. So that's all I have to say, and I thank you very much for giving me the chance to speak to you.
Thanks, Don. I was sitting here and thinking about things that you said, and kind of going off on tangents and things. And I remember one of the things that made a big difference to me when I was going through college was something one of my professors said. Where?
Oh yeah, I can just barely hear you a little teeny tiny bit.
Okay, I'm trying to speak up here. One of the things that my professor had said, one of my professors in college had said, you know, told me that education is the difference between cocksure ignorance and thoughtful uncertainty. And I said, you know, it was kind of trying to think about what you had said here today, and it was kind of conversion is the difference between self-reliance and complete trust and reliance in God. And that's kind of the goal, is to get ourselves out of ourselves and build that trust in God and put that in His hands and let Him take care of it. And kind of get those closet lights out of our life.
Yeah.
So, thanks, Don. And, I don't know, Jerry, did we have any announcements or anything?